Hello, welcome to the Demartini Show. If you love personal development and you see yourself as a bit of a philosopher at heart, and you love to learn about universal laws and human behavior, then you've tuned into the perfect podcast with Dr. John Demartini. He is a polymath and a human behavior expert with over 48 years of extensive research into human behavior and performance. What he shares across all of these episodes will give you a competitive advantage in life. If you're listening to the show for the first time, click the subscribe button now. That way we'll be able to notify you whenever we load new episodes. And if while listening to this episode, you start to think of people that you know would benefit from hearing this too, then help us help others by passing the link of this show on to them too. You never know, your action could be the perfect catalyst to help them transform their life at this time. At the end of the session, if you'd love to find out more about Dr. John Demartini and his work, or if you'd love to chat to a member of the Demartini team, then log on to drdemartini.com and use the live chat feature at the bottom right of the screen. This week, Dr. Demartini explains why depression and anxiety do not have to be perceived as terrible afflictions. Instead, they could be perceived as feedback mechanisms to your conscious mind to guide or initiate you back to set more realistic goals and expectations, or clarify realistic strategies to achieve your desires. So get your pen and paper or your digital note taker ready, and let's get started with this week's incredibly valuable presentation, How to Overcome Depression and Anxiety.
Some of the things I'm going to say may not be what you're used to hearing. And if so, great. I hope to elicit a response from you and make you think. So first, with every perception that we have, our mind births pairs of opposites. And so if we are perceiving something that we are drawn to, infatuated with, seek, something that our brain and our amygdala perceives as prey that we want to go after, we immediately have a fear of losing that. So in other words, if we have a biological desire for prey, to eat prey like an animal, but if we lose the prey, we have a fear of starvation. But we also have a desire to avoid a predator and the fear of the predator coming upon us. So I'd like you to write this down. The fear of loss of that which we seek and the fear of the gain of that which we try to avoid are the two primary biological distresses that we respond to in our amygdala, our survival responses. These two responses can go in any direction of life. What that means is you have a spiritual quest, an intellectual quest, a business quest, a financial quest, a family and love and intimacy quest, a social leadership quest, a physical health and well-being quest. So anything that you would like intellectually that you'd like to learn, if you fear the loss of it, you can be distressed. Or you fear the gain of something you don't want to hear, don't want to learn about. Somebody trying to talk to you about something that's uninspiring to you. Get it out of here. Business, if all of a sudden somebody comes in with new business or takes away business that we want or gives you business clients that you don't want or bills you don't want or challenges you don't want. It doesn't matter which of the seven areas of life, our spiritual quest, mental quest, financial quest, business quest, social quest, family quest, or physical body quest. Anything that we seek, we can have the fear of loss of. Anything that we try to avoid, we can fear the gain of. What we seek, we could call a fantasy. And what we try to avoid, we could call a nightmare. Or a philia and a phobia. Something we seek, something we avoid. It shows up in our body and physiology as an impulse and an instinct. We have an impulse towards things. We have an instinct away from things. A gut instinct away, a gut impulse towards. So the fear of loss of that which we seek and the fear of gain of that which we try to avoid are spontaneously emerging with every contrasted perception. Now, how does that relate to depression? Depression is a comparison of your current reality to a fantasy that you're addicted to, that you fear the loss of, or that you're not gaining. Now, that's interesting because I've worked with people with depression, quote, clinical depression. And many times their psychiatrist got them on psychiatric drugs. And I found that there were 15 most common underlying unrealistic expectations or fantasies that people were dealing with. And they had the fear of loss of those fantasies or the fear of gain of things that would be nightmares, the compensated opposite. In other words, anytime you expect another human being to be one-sided, if a fantasy being people always being nice, never mean, positive, never negative, kind, never cruel, giving, never taking, you know, generous, never stingy, cooperative, never competitive, you know, peaceful, never wrathful. Anytime you have an unrealistic expectation on some human being to be one-sided, they're going to let you down because there's no such thing as a human being that's one-sided. I'm not a nice person. I'm not a mean person. I'm a human being with a set of values that if you support my values, I can be nice as a pussycat. If you challenge my values, I can be mean as a tiger. So anytime you have an unrealistic expectation, which is a bit of a fantasy, which is something you seek, you're going to have the fear of loss of that, and you're going to have a fantasy that's not able to be obtained. And depression is going to be a compensation for that unrealistic expectation. I say that every time you have an unrealistic expectation like that, you have anger and aggression, blame and betrayal, criticism and challenge, despair and depression, desire to exit and escape, futility and frustration, grouchiness and grief, hatred and hurt, and in a sense, insanity and irritability. I call those A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I's of negativity, which are a feedback to us to let us know that we're pursuing something that's unrealistic. We have an impulse towards that which we are seeking and that we fear the loss of. And whatever the opposite of that is, when that individual has the opposite behavior, we're going to fear the gain of that. And that fear of that gain of that and the fear of loss of that be fantasy that we're holding on to can lead to our frustration and our body's response called depression. I'm not going to call depression an illness. I know that a lot of people call it that. I'm not going to call it. I'm going to call it a biological response to an unrealistic expectation that's stored in the subconscious mind that we're not always conscious of. The next unrealistic expectation is to expect that other individual to live in your values, not theirs. Or you're having an unrealistic expectation for them to live outside what they value, which isn't going to happen. Every decision that they make is going to be based on what they believe will give them the greatest advantage or disadvantage at any one moment in time. So if you expect them to live in your values and live outside their own values, you're going to have the ABCDs of negativity and depression because you're expecting there to be some fantasy, a fantasy that they can't live. And anytime you have a fantasy, you fear the loss of that, and you fear the gain of its opposite again. The third one is a combination of the two. Now you have an unrealistic expectation of them to be positive without negative, and to live in your values. You're supposed to read my mind and be the way I expect you to be. And this is common in relationships and of course leads to depressive states. Now, if you put all three of those together, you got a double whammy, an unrealistic expectation of them to be one-sided, an unrealistic expectation of them to live in your values or outside their own values. Number four, an unrealistic expectation on yourself to be one-sided. You live in the delusion you're supposed to be a positive thinker all the time. Always positive, never negative, always kind, never cruel, always giving, never taking, always, you know, cooperative, never competitive, always peaceful, never wrathful. Anytime you expect yourself to be a one-sided individual, it's a delusion. There is no one-sided individuals. The entire positive thinking mentality has screwed people up because it's made them think that they're supposed to be one-sided. It's childish. It's an amygdala response. Our amygdala wants to avoid pain and seek pleasure. So we sell the fantasy to people. It's an opium of the masses of a one-sided world. Not going to happen. Never has. It's not going to. So you might as well ground yourself and grow up and face the reality that there's two sides to life. In the process of doing that, if you have an expectation on yourself to be always kind, never cruel, always nice, never mean, always positive, never negative, always giving, never taking, it's not going to last. You might try it for an hour or two or a day or two, but it's not going to be consistent. So you're going to beat yourself up and then be depressed about your life's not matching the fantasy you have. And you're going to feel the loss of that fantasy and the gain of the opposite of that fantasy. Every time you have a fantasy, the opposite becomes the nightmare. And you have the fear of loss of the fantasy and fear of the gain of the nightmare that's sitting there. Then you have an unrealistic expectation, number five, an unrealistic expectation on yourself to live outside your values in somebody else's values. Well, when you may be infatuated with some, you meet some person on the street and you go, oh my God, I like this person. and you're infatuated with them, you tend to inject some of their values into your life, try to live by their values temporarily, and try to live outside your own. But just give it a few weeks, and eventually you'll say, hey, I want my life back. You're not going to live outside your own values. So anytime you expect yourself to be living in somebody else's values, I'm amazed how many people say they want to be financially independent, but their values don't show that. Their values show that they want immediate gratification and buying consumables that depreciate in value. Their values don't show that they want to invest methodically and patiently and almost boringly into some asset accumulating system to build financial independence. So anytime you expect yourself to live outside your own values, you're going to have a fantasy that you're trying to live by that you're not going to live by it. You're going to be depressed. The ABCDs of negativity, all those responses, anger and aggression, blame, betrayal, all of those are symptoms that are actually letting you know you have an unrealistic expectation. And that's not a bad thing. Those responses, depression is actually a feedback to let you know that you have a complete delusion about how you're expecting your life to be. Wake up. Now, in the process of doing it, you have a combination of those two, of an unrealistic expectation of yourself to be positive without negative, nice without mean, one-sided, and to live outside your values. So that's now the first three and the second three. That's six of them. Number seven is all the above. Now you're unrealistic on other people and you're unrealistic on yourself. Now you go one step further. You have an unrealistic expectation on the world in general, the collective consciousness, or even God in some cases. Some people anthropomorphize God and make even God live in this collective. And now you're expecting a one-sided world from the God, some anthropomorphic deity that you think is going to protect you or something, or people are supposed to be one-sided. You'll see very carefully in the Global Peace Index that peace and war is constantly balanced. And so if you expect a one-sided world, you're going to be depressed. And depression is letting you know that you have unrealistic expectations. And then you're thinking, well, if you have a fantasy, if you want this one-sided world, the fear of loss of that is going to be depressing. And the fear of gain of its opposite, again, is going to be depressing. So you have an unrealistic expectation leading to that outcome. Now you have the next one is the unrealistic expectation on the world in general, or God, to live in your values. You've anthropomorphized some masculine or feminine deity, and you're now thinking it's supposed to read your mind and give you what you want. You pray for it to take care of all your problems, to support your little childish behaviors, and basically not face reality. So now you have a situation where you're thinking that somehow the world in general is supposed to live in your values. I was amazed. I spoke at UNESCO at the United Nations Training Center, and I was amazed at some of the people that are going for United Nations delegate positions had this fantasy. People are supposed to be one-sided and the world's supposed to live in your values. You're going to have another delusion. So now you can have the unrealistic idea that, okay, whatever is important to me is the way the world's supposed to be. That will make life peaceful. Delusional. Not going to happen. You'll find out in your own family, you've got a brother or sister that's the opposite of you. You'll find in society that there's complementary opposites, and it's needed because evolution demands a building and destroying and remodeling, a neuroplasticity, a psychoplasticity, a biological plasticity, a remodeling, adapting to new environments. So if you're not, if the whole world was just stuck in your value system, you'd be in Twilight Zone. You wouldn't want that. So you have to have a realistic expectation if you don't want to be depressed. Depression is not your enemy. Depression is a feedback to let you know you have unrealistic expectations on life. Now let's go one step further. You have now an expectation that the world's supposed to be living in your values and it's supposed to be one-sided, and that's the next one. And then you have another one that's all the above. You're expecting other people to be that way. You're expecting yourself to be one-sided and live outside your values. Now you're expecting the world to do it. It's crazy. You compound those. I've sat there with clinically depressed people, and I have found that there's inside those people are these unrealistic expectations. And the biochemical imbalance is what they're blamed on. So a pharmaceutical company wants you to believe that. And it may be true. There may be biochemical imbalance there, but that's not necessarily causal. That's correlated because your biochemistry changes. If a tiger jumped in a room and all of a sudden hit you with a room and came in the room and scared you, your chemistry changes like that. And if you got subconsciously stored information that's imbalanced in your mind, your chemistry is going to show that. That doesn't mean it's causal. It just means that it's correlative. Now you have an unrealistic expectation on mechanical objects. I bet you've been peed off at an ATM machine or a car not starting or a computer not working the way you fantasize. And if you expect it to always be one-sided and not both-sided, or you expect it to read your mind and live in your values at the time you want it, you're going to be upset. And if you put all those together, you put all the things together, welcome to depression.
Listen up. Imagine knowing with absolute certainty that your life is working for you, that you're on track and that you're making progress towards the goals and dreams that you desire every day. If you've been an avid listener to this podcast, you'll have heard Dr. DeMartini mention his signature program, The Breakthrough Experience. It's a two-day weekend seminar where he shows you how to take everything that you've been learning on this podcast and put it into practice so that you can gain the shifts that you most desire for your life. If you would love to transform your life, and if you've been a little bit uncertain where to start or how to get there, then join Dr. John DeMartini at The Breakthrough Experience so he can show you how. What you'll learn in these 2 days is truly life transforming. It's time to put the power in your hands to create your magnificent life. To find out more, go to demartini.fm/seminar. You can also access the link in the show notes below. We look forward to seeing you there. And now let's continue with this episode.
Depression is a comparison of your current reality to an unrealistic expectation about life. Now, sometimes people are trained from mothers and fathers and preachers and teachers and the mores and traditions and conventions of society that have moral hypocrisies that they throw them on you about how life's supposed to be. And that's the opium of the masses, and it sells and disempowers people because it gives them false understanding about how life is. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to basically ground you and let you know that there's two sides to life. I don't try to be one-sided. I gave that up when I was 30 years old. I finally woke up to that reality. I'm not a one-sided individual. I'm both-sided. Almost every imaginable trait I found inside myself. So I don't put unrealistic expectations for me to get rid of half of myself and only be one-sided. It's a waste of time. Wake up and see it. Just go monitor your life and you'll see you never got rid of any of those traits you think you've been getting rid of. And you never had to gain any of the other traits. They're there all your life. And you need all of it. You want to love yourself? You got to take them all in. Not here to try to get rid of half of you or half of the world or half of somebody else. You're going to be frustrated as hell. You're going to be depressed as heck if all of a sudden you're expecting the whole world to be one-sided or live in your values. So I just want to address that because that's a lot of what depressions are. And yes, those two things, every time you infatuate with something and you fear its laws, the infatuation with it creates dopamine and oxytocin and vasopressin and serotonin and acephalins and endorphins and certain chemical compounds that we associate with seeking. And if all of a sudden we see things that challenge our values and we don't want it to come near us, we can be depressed about things that we don't want coming near us. And that causes osteocalcin and cortisol and norepinephrine and epinephrine and testosterone. And these compounds get imbalanced because of our perception. Like I said, the pharmaceutical industry loves to sell you the drug. And if you don't want to be accountable, then thank God that's there. But if you want to be accountable, you can change your perception. I've been developing a method on that for years. I've been doing it for thousands of people. And I'm absolutely certain you can change your perception. You know, the greatest discovery is that you can change your life by changing your perceptions and attitudes of mind. So depression doesn't have to be your reality. Depression is not something to run for a pill necessarily for. It's about taking command of your life and put realistic expectations in yourself and let your physiology do its job. And watch what happens the moment you have realistic expectations. The moment you find out what's really highest on your value, the moment you set goals that are really, truly yours, the moment you set objectives that are balanced, the moment you have realistic expectations, your physiology will rally. You'll rise to the top. You won't have time for depression. You'll be too busy doing something to inspire in your life. And if you go out and make a difference and try to help other people fulfill their highest values, you won't have time for depression. You'll be too busy serving people. That makes a difference. Now let me address quickly. I've got a few more minutes here. Let me address something on anxiety. Anxiety is a compounded phobia. So what does that mean? Let's say you have a child and it sees its mother and father fighting. And it's not even 1 year old. It's crawling. And all of a sudden it sees the fighting. It's sitting on the floor and it runs and crawls and scampers off into its room and hides under a bed. It puts a pillow around it. It doesn't want to do it. It closes its ears and closes its eyes and it freezes. And they yell and scream. Okay, the child then falls asleep that way. And it's basically associated sound and sight with something that they perceive as threatening, right? A challenge to their values. And so what happens is the parents stop fighting, they go to bed, the child's in bed now or under the bed. And the next morning, mom gets up, daddy goes to work, they're fine, they got over the thing. Mom now comes and takes you to the grocery store. And then all of a sudden you're in the grocery store. Mom's got you in the little, you know, the little push cart. And all of a sudden you see in front of you a man that has blue jeans on and a white shirt, just like Daddy did last night. And as he's coming down the aisle, you automatically either get in front of Mommy and look over your shoulder at it to protect Mommy, or you get behind Mommy and protect yourself. And so what happens is you, and Mom goes, what's going on? Why are you acting out? Because your brain associated something of danger with blue jeans and a white shirt, maybe brown hair and a mustache, because your dad has that. Now what happens, your brain associates that. So anytime you see something that's associated with that, you might have a trigger that can trigger a response, angst. Now you go down the next aisle, and you're, that bad guy passes by, and your anxiety goes away, and all of a sudden you find, you turn down the next aisle, and you see a guy with a white, yellow shirt, now blue jeans, brown hair, brown mustache. And now you have a mild response. And Mom wonders, why are you acting out like this? She's not seeing the correlation between what happened the night before. Because your brain saw blue jeans, white shirt, brown hair, brown mustache associated with danger to Mom, and your life dependent on Mom. So in the result of that, you now have a sympathetic response that creates sympathetic neurotransmitters that create the physiological responses, kind of the fight or flight response. In the process of doing it, you now have on the next aisle a yellow shirt, which is not originally associated with it, but because it's got blue jeans and brown hair, you now put a secondary association, a compound association with it. Now you have a little milder response, but you have a response because the blue jeans and brown hair are still there. Now you go down the next aisle, now you see a red shirt, blue jeans, brown hair, brown mustache. The same thing can occur. You go down the next aisle, and I'm making this up as you imagine, go down the next aisle, and you see now somebody with blue jeans, white shirt, blonde hair, blonde mustache. But now you have the blue jeans and blue white shirt, so you now have enough of a mild association where there's a little bit of trigger that stimulates that response. Now, as you go through there, you can stack up a series of associations over time, compounded associations in the brain with the original event. If you don't go back to the original event and neutralize the original event and find out what was the upside of that, because people have fighting in relationships. I've never heard of a family that doesn't have fights sometimes. And when they have a fight, they get over it and life goes on most of the time. So if a child lives in a fantasy, it's supposed to have peace without war, then it's going to not be prepared for the realities of there's going to be conflicts in time. And so in the process of doing it, the child may have associated more drawbacks and benefits, more pains and pleasures, and fear is an assumption that you're about to get more pain and pleasure. So if you have that, it frightens you, and now you have other things that remind you of that which frightens you, those can compound and create secondary and tertiary and quaternary associations that eventually any of those little stimuli can make you have an angst response, an anxiety, a little fear in varying degrees. And you can have a panic attack because of the secondary associations. If you go back to the original event and go find out the causes of it, find out how it served Mom and find out how it helped you and find out the other side of it and neutralize it. I do that in the breakthrough experience that I teach every week. I basically go through and show people how to take whatever they thought was so terrible in their life and find out the other side to it. Because there's never a challenge without an opportunity. There's never a crisis without a blessing. There's not a negative without a positive because there are no such things as one side events. Unless you morally are rigid and can't grow up and finally face the truth about life having both sides. When you can finally face both sides, you can see both sides, then the event doesn't have any stress. Then the secondary associations calm down and collapse. You can either peel the onion by going to each one of those angst and look and find the blessings of it, the benefits of it, and peel yourself back or go back to the original event and to neutralize it. And sometimes it cascades down. But the anxiety is there letting you know that anything that you haven't loved and appreciated and seen both sides of, it's making sure you don't escape that and make sure you go back and redo that so your life's not filled with subconsciously stored baggage. It's not a bad thing. Anxiety is not your enemy necessarily. Anxiety is letting you know that you got some incomplete awareness over there. Because anytime you're infatuated with something and you're conscious of the upside and unconscious of the downside, you're not seeing what's there. You've been infatuated with people before and then you finally dated them for a period of time and you thought, oh, they're not what I originally thought. That's because you were blind initially. Your intuition was trying to whisper to you, ignored it, and you let your impulse and your fantasies, you know, overrule. And then you eventually discovered, my God, they had both sides. And the same thing, you have this terrible, terrible event, and a day, a week, a month, a year, 5 years later, you look back and you go, wow, thank God that occurred. So why have the wisdom of the ages with the aging process and have the wisdom of the ages without it by looking right away and finding the other side to it? Anything you don't see both sides to is stored in your subconscious mind and is impulsively and instinctually seeking and avoiding and causing you to react 200 milliseconds before you can even think. But the second you balance it, you get to act with thought without emotional reaction. And that's where you have self-governance. If you don't go back and balance it out, it's basically going to run your life until you do. Anything that you haven't said thank you for is baggage. Anything you can say thank you for is fuel. So if you see a drawback without a benefit, that's your choice. That's your imbalanced perspective. It's nothing to do with them, nothing to do with anything outside you. It was a perception. You have control of your perception, decisions, and actions. And if you balance out that perception, it no longer has the cause for the anxiety. I've been doing that for years. And in the breakthrough experience, I teach people exactly how to do that. It's not that difficult to do. It's just being accountable. And most people don't want to be accountable. They want to run their story, their little therapist, and go over and over and over, run that little story and dramatize that story so they can get affection and attention and listen to. That's foolish. What's wise is actually being accountable to see both sides of your life and quit living in fantasies that life's supposed to be one-sided. It's not going to be. Never will be. Never has been. So grow up. Face the realities of both and watch what happens in your life. You liberate yourself from a lot of baggage and bondage and angst and fears. Again, fear is an assumption. You're about to experience more drawbacks and benefits. And the opposite of fear or phobia is philia. Philia or fantasy or infatuation is an assumption. You're about to experience more positive and negatives. Neither one of them are real. You're going to have both sides to it. You're never going to find somebody you infatuate without finding out they have downsides. You're never going to find somebody you resent without finding out they have upsides. If you discuss both sides and discover both of them, you mature. If not, you're going to hold on to that stuff. It's going to store in your mind. It's going to run your life. It's going to make you seek and avoid before you even have time to think. So how about that? I covered a lot of ground there. So I just wanted to let you know that your fear and your phobia and your anxiety or whatever doesn't have to be your enemy. You can use it as a guide to guide your life to balance out your perception, put realistic expectations on things, and the same thing with depression. So that's my presentation for this week. I hope that it startled you a bit and kind of made you think for a second. I just want to let you know about something that can also help you in this process, the practical applications now. I have a masterclass called The Balancing Emotions on demand. It's an on-demand masterclass you can get. And if you sign up for it now, and this is about how to balance your emotions, how to prevent the very thing that we just talked about, how to take command of your life and be the master of your life instead of letting things around you run your life. You don't want to be extrinsically run. You want to be intrinsically driven. But this masterclass, Balancing Emotions, can help you do it. It's a process of how to do that. And if you sign up for it now, you'll get to receive a free gift called Awakening Your Astronomical Vision, which is about expanding your vision and giving yourself permission to do something more extraordinary in your life. You're only going to grow based on the size of your vision. If you don't have an astronomical vision, don't expect a global effect. And today with the internet, we're global and someday solar. But in the process of doing it, this program, the Awakening Your Astronomical Vision, I'm absolutely certain is a mind blower. Listen to it. You're going to listen to it 5 or 6 times, I promise you. And go listen to that and sign up for the program, the demand, the masterclass, Balancing Emotions. They'll help you. They'll help you break through these anxieties, these depressions, and make you kind of ground yourself about reality, about human beings, and help you break some fantasies about how life's supposed to be. Remember, when you appreciate the way life is and not keep comparing it to a fantasy of how it's supposed to be, you can appreciate your life. It's a pretty amazing life if you do. Anyway, this is Dr. DeMartini. Until next week, have a fantastic week. And just know that no matter what happens in your life, it's on the way, not in the way.
Well, this was just a small sample of what Dr. DeMartini has to share. If you'd love to continue learning from Dr. DeMartini, then please click the subscribe button so that you're notified when we add the next episode. If you'd love to find out more about Dr. DeMartini and his work, then please log on to our website, drdemartini.com, and use the online chat function to talk to a member of our DeMartini team. We'd really love to get to know you and to understand what you're wanting to achieve so that we can best guide you through the appropriate education session to achieve your goals and dreams. We'd also love to invite you to join us in the DeMartini Stay Inspired Facebook group, which you can access by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. Our goal in the community is to help you to clarify your vision, stay focused and inspired, and take the appropriate actions to empower all seven areas of your life. So join us by linking to demartini.inc/inspired. That's it for this episode. We look forward to sharing more inspiration from Dr. Demartini shortly. Until next time, stay focused, stay inspired.